Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Wesley Mission Victoria and broadcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and this is Listen to Older Voices, the award-winning program that features the stories of older Australians in a Life and Times format. This is part one of a three-part program featuring 75-year-old Joy Pagalis. Born in Willesden, UK, which is just northwest of London, her memories of the war years are sparse, but those of her mum and dad are very clear, as indeed are her school years, which she doesn't recall fondly. Joy didn't respond well to the environment and the lessons, which were stark. And to top all this off, she had a teacher that, as she put it, was horrible. In fact, this teacher was so bad that some of the kids decided to get back at her. What did they do? Well, I'll let Joy tell that story. We follow Joy's progress through her school years and into her first job, which was in a quantity surveyor's office. Life was fine for her and her family until a breakdown in the relationship between her father and his mother triggered a move by the whole family to Australia. Joy, first of all, thank you for inviting me into your home. And can I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born in 1942. And I was born in a place called Willesden, which is in London, in England.
I have to say, you haven't got a strong accent.
No, but I've been out here a long time, that's why.
That's why. Okay. What would be your earliest memories then?
I can't remember how old I was, but obviously the Second World War was on, and we had like I don't know what they called them, but they're like little air raid shelters they used to make, and they'd fit it under a dining room table.
Oh, yes. I can't think of the name. Oh, they were especially reinforced, weren't
they? Yes, yes. And I can remember one of those and being put in one of those. How old I was, I don't know.
But that would have been young, because
I
you would have been young.
Probably
yeah.
About two or three, yes. I would think. But that's probably about the earliest. Then it would go on till when I was about five, so I don't sort of have anything in between.
Right. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I've got a brother. He's 5 years younger than me.
Right.
Because the war was in between.
Of course. Of course, yes. It interrupted a lot of things.
It did.
So really, most of your memories would be taking place post the Second World War.
Yes.
Mum and Dad. Let's look at Dad first of all. What sort of person was he?
Oh, I love my dad. He was a quantity surveyor. And when he came home from serving, he was at the front door. And I must have opened the front door or something. And I said to my mum, "Mum, there's a man at the front door." And she came down and she said, "Yes, that's your dad." Well, that's Daddy. I must have been about four.
When you think of him now, how do you think of him?
I get quite emotional.
Yeah.
Yes.
So obviously he was a good dad.
Yes, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes, he was lovely. He was a very clever man. He put himself through university to get all his degrees and that and become a quantity surveyor.
Sure.
But he was also very handy to have around because he could do almost anything. He could fix this or fix that or fix something else. So, he was very handy to have around, and I miss that an awful lot.
Sure.
Although my brother sort of took over a little bit from there.
He fulfilled the role.
Yes.
What about Mum? What was Mum like?
Yeah, Mum was, similar to Dad. They both beautiful people. Mum had a stroke and she passed away a few years ago now. And I think Dad was lost without her because they were a pair.
Sure.
She had a stroke and she lasted for a while, but in the end they had to go into a retirement village. Like I say, she passed away and Dad stayed there. And he found he'd sort of, you know, he was happy there.
Was she very domestically inclined?
Yes, very, you know, baked pies and cakes, and she was very clever. She was very clever with her hands, handicrafts.
Right.
She couldn't paint, nor could I, but she was very, very good. She was a handicraft teacher for the CWA.
Oh, right.
Some of her things I picked up, but not all of them, unfortunately. Yeah, it's often times now and I think, oh, I wish I'd asked Mum that, or how to do this or that or something else, and you don't think of it at the time.
No, you don't. Growing up post-World War II in England, there would have been a lot of destruction around you growing up as a child, so you wouldn't have had things like parks and gardens to play in?
No, there weren't a huge amount. I know we used to go, and there was a house not far from us that had been bombed. And, of course, it had been pulled down, so there was only the foundations and that there. And we used to go and play there.
Right.
And it was only sort of a couple of doors down the road. And then we moved. And we moved to a place called North Finchley, which was a much nicer suburb. And that had parks, but not a huge amount, no.
Mm.
No.
Kids these days have it all. I mean, their lives are full of gadgets, and when they're really young, toys, and when they're older, gadgets and things. You as a young girl, especially post-war, you would have had very little in the way of toys and things, would you?
Oh, we used to have a doll.
A doll, yeah.
Well, I mean, I was probably spoilt, and I probably had more than one doll, and a doll's pram. And you used to play with that, and you used to make up games too.
Yes.
Which children don't do these days.
Yes.
They have no
imagination?
No, they don't have any imagination. Because like you say, they are always, they've got a phone or something in their hand that they're pushing buttons or something.
Yes.
Which we never had.
Did you ever feel like you were missing out?
Sorry?
Did you ever feel like you were missing out on things?
No, because these things weren't around then.
True, that's right.
So you didn't worry about it. That was what was there, and you played with it and you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that was it. I don't remember much before my brother was around. Because he's so much younger than me, I used to have the upper hand.
So. Were you expected to help, so when I say bring him up, I don't mean as an adult, but look after him or anything?
No. No? No, no. That was Mum's job.
That was Mum's job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about school? What sort of
school
experiences did you have? What was it like at primary school?
Primary school. Oh, that was, yeah, that was a funny time. When I look at it now, it was fairly stark. Not like today where, you know, they've got computers and all this sort of thing and that. I remember the early days, the three R's, writing, reading and arithmetic, and a bit of gymnastics. And in England, they have a May Day holiday. So we used to have, used to take months to do this, dancing around the maypole with ribbons and that. But yeah, it was fairly stark compared with what they get now. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What were the teachers like? Were they easy to get on with?
Oh no, my teacher was horrible. I used to hate her.
What was it about her that made her so bad?
Oh, she was very strict, and of course I didn't like that. But I remember she bought herself a car. Now, this is when I was in primary school, so, it was sort of a big thing to buy a car. And because she was so nasty to everybody virtually, some of the boys went out and put sugar in the petrol tank.
Oh, goodness.
We thought it was a huge joke, but now I know what damage it would have done.
Mm.
So, but no, she just didn't have any sense of humour or any giving.
It was funny how people in those days who took up teaching profession really had the skills to actually communicate with kids, did they?
No, no idea.
No.
None at all. She was a spinster. And maybe we filled a void, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
No, she wasn't very nice. No. Wasn't very nice.
Was there anything about primary school years that you can look back on and think were good, or were they better they were over with?
Oh, yes. I mean, you made a lot of friends. You went to a lot of birthday parties, which, you know, were ripe in those days. Everybody had a birthday party.
Sure.
And you'd get dressed up and off you go with your pink bow in your hair and that sort of thing. Yeah, those sort of things were good.
Did you join girl guides or any clubs or things like that as a young girl?
Yes, I did. But they threw me out, and I can't remember.
Out of the girl guides?
Yes.
That's an achievement.
Don't come back again.
What did you do?
I don't know. I can't remember what I did, but I must have been pretty horrible.
Well, that's an achievement, I think, in itself. Can you remember enjoying it, or was it something you went because you thought you had to?
I did enjoy it to a certain degree, but I'm not an outside person.
Right.
And you used to go to camp, which was awful. I remember going to one camp, a girl guide camp, and it was at a beach somewhere. I can't remember where it was, but it had rained solidly for probably 2 or 3 days beforehand. And English rain is quite heavy. And everything was all soaking wet. All our tents were wet and everything. Oh. And we ended up in the local council hall with all our clothes and stuff over radiators trying to dry them out.
Oh, fun.
Well, anyway, we got them dried and the sun came out and the weather was lovely and everybody's saying, oh, this is beautiful, you know, off we go. And I'm like, oh, no, thank you very much. I think I'll go home. My parents came to visit me on the Wednesday. That was parents' visiting day. And I said to them, can I come home? And they said, well, you know, why don't you stay? It'll be nice. I said, no, I don't like it. You know, the food's cooked on these funny pits and the toilet's a bit of sacking round some sticks and I want to come home. So they let me go home and I wasn't going on any more camps. No way.
A fair call.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining, and they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner? He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters, and the lake has alligators. And the head coach wants no sissies, so he reads to us from something called Ulysses. Now I don't want this should scare you, but my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy? They're about to organize a searching party. Take me home, oh mother father, take me home. I hate Granada, don't leave me out in the forest where I might get eaten by a bear. Take me home.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Joy Pagalis. And Joy is recollecting her early years, particularly her dislike for camping when she was in the Girl Guides.
Did you go through to secondary school?
Yes, I did. I finished, I suppose, what you called year 12 out here.
Oh, okay, so you did that in Australia.
I finished school in England.
Right.
I didn't come out here until I was 18.
Oh, sorry, I misunderstood. So you did your secondary schooling in England?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Was that a girls' school or at a mixed school?
Yes, that was at a girls' school.
Was that different to primary school for you, or was it the same sort of thing?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was nicer. Well, the things we did were much nicer. You know, we did domestic science and things like that. And you used to go on cooking day and they'd say, we're going to make an apple pie or something like that. So you take your ingredients, you make it, and then you have to go home and take it home on the bus.
Oh, okay.
An apple pie or whatever it was that you'd made. It could be something really sloppy. And there you are trying to keep it steady on a bus to get it home. Yeah, I used to enjoy that.
Was that your favourite subject, domestic science?
Probably would have been. I did a secretarial course there. Typing, and that was okay, but the shorthand was a bit of a disaster.
Right. Just wasn't your thing?
Dear Sir, and that was about as far as I got. And yours faithfully.
Not many letters start and just finish with that, do they?
No. The bit in the middle I couldn't, yeah. But yes, I wasn't very good at shorthand, I must admit. And some of them were so neat and tidy and it used to look beautiful, and mine was just a scrawl. It's awful.
As a teenager, what did kept your interest outside of school? Did you start to have a social life as a teenager? You know, this must have been your secondary school years. Friends?
It wasn't a huge amount.
No?
No, unless you belong to a group or, like you say, guides or something like that. There wasn't a huge amount of activity, or right. Not that I came in contact with.
Not one for the pictures?
Oh, yes, you go to the pictures, and I had a girlfriend, and sometimes we'd go together. But there was...
No dances?
No. Now I think about it, I don't think so.
Right.
When I was a bit older, once I'd left school, I worked for 2 years before we came out here. Then it was a bit different.
So what was your first job?
My first job was at a quantity surveyor's office.
Oh, you're kidding.
About...
That wasn't through Dad, was it?
No, it wasn't through him, but it was about 10 minutes away from where his office was.
Oh, goodness me.
He worked in Victoria Street, close to Victoria Station.
Right.
And I worked in just one of the little streets round behind.
Right.
So sometimes he would take me to work if he was taking his car in. Other than that, I'd go in on the tube.
Right. So the world of work, did that open up a different world for you in terms of things to do and people and everything?
Yeah, yes, it did a little bit. It was because you're meeting different people and doing different things. In those days, I used to, well, I still do, I love traditional jazz. And where I worked... One of the boys there had a Lambretta, you know, the scooters.
Oh, very cool.
Yes.
Yes.
And we used to go on a Friday at lunchtime into Soho to Acker Bilk's jazz club. And it didn't cost you anything because you went at lunchtime because they were rehearsing. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was fabulous. I used to love it.
Oh, that's right.
Brilliant. Yeah, him and Chris Barber, different.
Oh, you
different
really things. Were in the middle of it all.
Oh,
then.
I
yes.
loved it, yeah.
Because that was really red hot in England in those days, wasn't it?
It was a case of Either like modern jazz or you like traditional jazz.
Yes, there was the schism.
Yeah,
you couldn't do both.
No, one or the other. And I remember one weekend there was a festival on, and it was an all-night festival. Started about 7 or 7:30, something like that, and went all night until the following morning. And I went to that with this boy from work and his girlfriend and another couple of friends, and there was a group of us. And it was great. It was really good. But the next morning I was so tired.
Work next morning?
No. It was on a Saturday. It was on a Friday.
Oh, okay.
So Saturday we didn't work. So it was good.
Yeah, but you didn't regret it, did you?
Oh, no. It was great.
Yes.
It was really good.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories.
My dad used to umpire at a cricket club the weekends in the summer, and we used to go up and watch the play cricket right. on a Sunday. Sometimes we'd all go together, my brother as well, and other times Dad would go up first and we'd go up on the bus later if Mum was doing something else. That was lovely. That was really nice. You'd sit and watch the cricket and then you'd go into the clubhouse when they'd finished playing and have a drink, something like that. Yeah.
So is this getting close to the time when you left England?
Yes.
Well, first of all, I guess my first question is, what brought about the move to Australia? Because it sounded like you were fairly settled.
We had quite a big house in England. And
when you say we, you're still talking about Mum and Dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they shared it with my father's sister and his mother. And Mother was a bit of a witch.
Ah.
She wanted her piano upstairs. And Dad said, no, you can't have it upstairs because it's too heavy for the floor.
Fair call.
And he knew what he was talking about because of what he does.
Yes, yeah.
She insisted that she wanted this piano upstairs. And a slightly heated few words ensued. And in the end, they moved out, which meant we got this huge house all to ourselves. And Dad sort of obviously thought, look, you know, I'm not going to work my guts out trying to keep this house going.
Mm.
So he'd always wanted to go to New Zealand, actually, but they knocked him back.
Mm.
He couldn't get into New Zealand.
That's surprising.
Yeah, so Australia was the next choice.
So how old were you when you left England?
18.
So that's quite an interesting age because the world's really opening up to you. How did you see moving to Australia at 18?
Well, when Dad, I mean, he asked me, he didn't ask, well, he did ask my brother, but he was, you know, 13,
yeah.
He didn't know anything, yeah. Really. I sort of thought, oh, yes, look, it might be good, you know. And then we came out on the ship, which took 6 weeks in those days.
Do you remember the name of the ship?
Yeah, the Arcadia.
Oh, I remember the Arcadia, yes. Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
It was the flagship of the P&O line in those days, so it was very, you know, upmarket.
Was that a good trip?
Yes, it was lovely. Nobody had to do anything, cooking,
no,
washing, nothing.
Yes.
Nothing, it was great. But we went to Adelaide. Dad came out to a job with the South Australian government. So when we arrived at Port Adelaide, we were met by a limousine instead of being huddled onto a bus. And we were put up at a hotel until our house was ready.
Oh, that's a good start.
So it was quite nice. But the first impression was absolutely devastating. I thought, my God, what's Dad brought us to?
Do join Joy and I next week as Joy talks extensively about her experiences and her feelings when the family arrived in Adelaide. We also learn why the family ended up in Melbourne and how she met her husband-to-be, and how she came to be the first paid worker with the Cystic Fibrosis Association. That's Joy Pagelis next week on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Turak Times.